Wine Before Pearls podcast with Joel and Trent.
All right.
Hey.
Welcome. Today we're talking about life.
Life.
Let's talk about you and me.
The game of life.
Let's talk about life, baby.
You're probably wondering, why are you guys in jammies and blankies?
We're having a cozy talk.
And why are the lights so low and not illuminating every ounce of acne?
Ooh.
We're talking about life, baby. How do you get the
chat up?
Yeah.
It's in the top right corner, I think. You gotta work for it.
We did this last time.
Oh my, we should have done this before. Man, now all our YouTube videos are gonna.
Oh, now
our YouTube viewers
are gonna. Professional.
Yeah, they're gonna leave within two
seconds.
What?
You guys aren't a well-oiled machine.
No.
Dude,
oh, Joel, you're a disaster. All right.
So
I'll fix this and you talk.
So we're talking about life today.
We are.
You know, I just felt like talking about broad strokes, broad paintbrushes in which to paint our canvas.
Yes.
Our canvas that we call life. So my first topic on life is the cereal.
The cereal. Ooh, good, I love talking about the cereal.
Good or bad? Where do you put life?
Dude.
Are you stoked on life or do you hate it?
Life is based. All right.
Why?
So here's the deal, right? There are three types of cereals in the world, in my estimation.
Okay.
Okay. So you've got hyper sugary cereals, okay?
What do you put in those?
These are like your Captain Crunch.
Okay.
Like your Cocoa Puffs.
Okay.
Fruity Pebbles.
Okay.
These, delicious.
Yeah.
Love them.
Yeah.
Adore them.
Yeah.
They are God's gift to Earth, and I receive them gladly.
Mm.
However, they do not come without consequence.
Mm-mm.
As a breakfast, they are not substantive. No, sir.
Mm.
One bowl of a sugary cereal will sustain you for 1 hour.
Okay.
How long is the morning?
Morning depends on when you wake up.
Yeah, true.
So if you wake up at 3, your morning is probably a good 3 or 4 hours, I'd say.
Then you've got the bland cereals, all right?
Yeah.
These are like your regular Cheerios, not the Honey Nut Cheerios.
Mm, bad.
Mm. You got like the Special K. All right, not the ones with the fruits, but just straight up.
You say stuff, and then I start getting excited about it, and then negate it taking away thing that makes it good.
This is the type of cereal that I'm talking about. The unfrosted mini wheats.
Ooh.
You ever had those?
That's rough.
Those are straight from Satan.
That's like unfrosted mini wheats to me. It's like eating out of a pool drain near the end of it. It's just like a clump. You know, that's the great thing about frosted mini wheats is when it's all said and done and stuff is settling into the milk, you know. And you still got that sugar, you know? So it's kind of this nice amalgamation. But that unfrosted, like eating out of a pool filter, and not a very good pool filter, like an average pool filter.
Yeah,
I'd say.
It's a hellscape. But then you got the third type of cereal, okay?
Okay.
So these are the based cereals.
Based cereals.
Okay. So you have like Honey Bunches of Oats.
Okay, base cereal.
All right. You have like certain types of Chex. Chex can go in several different categories.
What about plain Chex?
Plain Chex? They're like kind of a hybrid. It really depends on what type you get.
I'm talking just straight plain Chex.
So they're like kind of between based and bland.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
But like Honey Nut Chex or Honey Nut Cheerios.
Okay.
Okay. Another
based
cereal.
Very based.
Life is among the best of the based cereals, in my opinion.
Mm.
Cinnamon Life, a little higher.
Yeah.
But
Cinnamon Life is very good. Something that used to confuse me, I was a stupid kid and I'm a stupid adult, or stupider adult.
Yeah.
And something that used to just drive me nuts about the Life cereal was that I associated it with the board game. And I wasn't quite sure how the connection was there, but I knew they were both called Life. So I assume they just coincided with each other. And I always like assumed in my head that there was a game piece in the cereal that you were supposed to add to the game, and I just kept eating through it.
That's really sad.
Legitimately.
Did that sour you on Life cereal?
No, I think Life cereal is a great cereal. I think actually Life cereal might be in the top three most based cereals because it holds the line between filling and sweetness.
Yeah.
Very good. It's not too much. It's not too much. It's kind of the same way with Lucky Charms. You know, Lucky Charms, they give you those marshmallows, but you know what? They got the bland Cheerio to cut it.
Yeah. The Life cereal, I think, is like kind of on that border of like sugary and based. It's a beautiful combo.
So here's a question.
Okay.
You're obsessed with cereal.
Yes, sir.
When did cereal become a part of your life as like something that you've pretty much created an identity around cereal, would say.
Well, I mean, from
like your handle is C Told Cereal.
Yeah.
Which never understood.
From the very beginning, you also just doxed my social media.
Oh, I don't care.
Tough. But
gotta change it.
Don't
you want friends and fans?
No, not on my social media. I want the world not to
know. Well, that's why you don't make it as your social media, just your gamer tag.
Yeah, it's too late. But
whatever.
Since I was a very little kid, it's always been cereal for breakfast.
Yeah.
Probably 95% of my life, I've had cereal every day in the morning for breakfast. At some point in my life, I was having cereal 2 to 3 times a day.
Mm.
That was not a good thing. I was a larger man, partially because of that, partially just because of like my general eating habits.
Yeah, sure.
But as far as the username, I literally just woke up one morning on a camping trip, and those two words were stuck in my head.
Hmm.
And I said, if I had a band, that's what I would call it.
Hmm.
And so I would start writing it on my cups. I was like, ooh, this is like a cool little brand thing I can do.
Yeah, personal
and then,
branding.
And then I said, what if I put like a T inside of the C? And that's like my cool little brand. And then I was like, oh, that can be my username too. And then the T is silent. So it's actually cold cereal, but there's a T in there.
Yeah.
For no reason. Because that would be unique and nobody else would do it. Turns out the reason nobody else would do it is because it sucks.
Yeah.
But.
Did you come up with that conclusion on your own that it sucks?
It took a little bit of help. You know, it took a little bit of confusion from people who saw my Instagram.
Sure.
And would try to read it out loud. But what really solidified that it sucks was I was playing online video games.
As you do.
And my friends were confused as what to call me because they like these were friends that I didn't know in real life. So we just refer to each other by our handles. And so they just started calling me Cereal for short, and I was like, that's actually great.
Yeah.
And I kept that, and I like within gamer spaces, girls have actually been like, oh, that's actually kind of a cute tag.
Ooh.
So it's the money
queen.
Move. If you
tell us about your gamer girl relationships.
My gamer girl relationships. Oh boy. I mean, I haven't really gotten in that good with the gamer girls. Here's the deal. Gamer girls, they're a bit of a hot commodity. Right? And There was one girl in college, because I was chilling with the gamers when they were, and like the gamer girls, super, super popular with the dudes. Mm. All right. So like there was this girl who was kind of cute, but I was like, she's just drowning in dudes. Like, I'm not gonna fight for that. Like, I don't have to.
You didn't want to get into online combat over this woman.
Yeah. So there's this one dude who was like always hanging out with her, just always.
Yeah.
And this other dude asks her out. Like, this was a year after I was already hanging out with them. And like, this other dude just never made a move. And the day that that this other guy made a move and asked her out, this first guy drops off the face of the earth.
Just disappears.
Yeah, like, he was pretty involved in the friend group and he was just gone.
Well,
so
see where those loyalties were lying.
Yeah, it's like, you can go for a gamer girl, and the nice thing if you're a gamer is that you have that in common. But at what cost?
What's
my man?
What's like the appeal? Is it just the fact that they like the same things that you like?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of cringe.
I just thought of the Yoda thing.
It's kind of cringe to be a gamer in some ways, right?
Yeah, I guess.
So, if you have a girl who's cringe in the same way as you, like, that's a massive win. Because it means you don't have to cross that bridge or censor yourself or pretend that you're not as much of a nerd as you are.
But pretending that you're not a nerd is the best part of dating relationships. Because then you can slowly unravel that as the horror that it is over time when you are like at a store and she's like, why would anybody be into that? And then you're looking at it and you're like, I know exactly what that is. I know. Oh, there was like an ad. I remember there was like an ad for like, I can't remember what game it was. I think it was like the Elder Scrolls or something. They were running a TV ad. And this chick I was dating at the time was like, that is such a lame thing. Like, who would be into that? And I'm like massively into the Elder Scrolls. And I just sat there and I was like, I don't know. I mean, just people are kooky, I guess.
You just got to find the right girl. Because, like, you know, you find the right girl and she's not into it. But you can just tell her about all your cringe stuff. And she's like,
That is what like life and dating, that's what that's all about, is just slowly revealing the cringier parts of your side to a point that is just, you know, normal almost.
Yeah.
You know, like when I was younger, I had my own Star Trek costume, you know. Now I would never let any female know that I used to parade around in my own Star Trek costume and pretend I was on a starship. But maybe over time I will. And then I'll pull that old thing out of the closet and try to squeeze back into it.
Yeah. Well, something interesting I've heard is that when you're in a dating relationship, for the first 6 months, you're not actually dating the real person.
You're not yourself.
You're dating the salesperson. And they're doing their best to sell themselves as a viable significant other. But once you hit that 6 month mark, like, you don't have the energy to keep that salesman facade up, and that's about when you see the real person.
That's when the cracks show. It's so funny how that works, you know. It's like, I guess that's something I strive to be in life, is how can I be not the sales pitch, but the actual person right off the bat, so that's just the way it is, you know. But I guess there's parts of you, like even little ticks, like, oh, like cleaning up after yourself. Like, you might be like, oh, I got this girl coming over, I'm gonna make sure my room looks really nice. 6 months later, there's like a dead rat on the door. Like, I don't care.
a naked Barbie.
Yeah. You keep bringing that up, don't you?
Yeah. That's two times.
That's a disappointing memory from my life that I don't remember.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But, I mean, that's like the tricky thing, is there's always those two sides of you, right? Like,
there are always two wolves.
The public side of you is always real and fake at the same time.
Mm.
And you can't escape that. And there are people who are more genuine than others. But I mean, how you present yourself is kind of important. And if you want to be liked, you can't just like drop everything on the floor and be like, this is me.
Like, I hope you like me.
People in general like someone who's jovial and upbeat. And like, if you want to get along with people, you can't go into the first conversation that you ever have with someone and just drop your baggage all over the floor and be like, hey,
dude, I've seen and heard people do it.
You can do it, but you have to be very intelligent and careful about it.
Well, I haven't been around the intelligent and careful. It's just like, well, first thing off the bat, here's my biggest fears and trauma, and this is the first thing you know about me. There's still some people like I've met in my life, I couldn't tell you a thing about them besides what like their biggest issues are that they've experienced in their life. And I think that's horrible, actually.
Yeah, does that draw you into them?
No, not really, yeah, man. So, I think it definitely is like, oh, well, that's very forward.
To a certain extent, you have to be fake in that regard.
Mm.
Like, if you want to be liked, you can't drop your baggage liked. All over the floor.
Yeah.
Instantly, as soon as you come across someone.
Yeah. No, I think that's a fair point. So I was thinking about this topic.
All right.
And something I was thinking about as we get older, we're old men now, you know, we're pretty much past our prime.
Yes, sir.
Like we're riding the slow roller coaster down.
Woo.
Nothing good's happening at past this point. But,
you know, most people would consider 30 like the end of their
prime. Dude, it's around 24, 25 that everything, you know, because of inflation, everything is up a little bit.
So, Our grandkids are going to be born as like, sorry, but you already,
they're like
you peaked
seven.
When you were in the womb.
They're like seven, and it's like, well, Timmy, you're not a pro soccer player, so it's never going to happen. You need to just take that accounting job already and just give up on your dreams. But something I was thinking about is like, and maybe we haven't even lived it yet, but based off of past experience, what is like the best age to be like alive growing up? Like, what is like the best year?
I mean, I think that is a like very personal, like person to person thing. Sure. 'Cause like some people look back at grade school and they were like, man, I was so carefree.
Yeah.
Everything was great. I had everything provided for me. And some people are like, school was a prison. Yeah. School was the worst part of my life.
Yeah.
That was a living hell for me. So to say like there's a good like one size fits all.
I think there is.
You think so?
I think
all
there
right.
is.
All right.
But it's a kind of a two-parter.
Okay.
Eight-year-old boys.
I think
if you're an 8-year-old boy, that is the peak of life. Because you're just old enough to be like kind of cognitive of things, but everything is still like magical. Just imagine being an 8-year-old boy and just going on like a fishing trip.
That's
just how
great
that would be. And it's like, yeah, you screw up. You do, you know, you know, have you ever looked at an 8-year-old boy in their eyes? There's just nothing going on back there. There's moths and butterflies. They got like a big grease stain, like a spaghetti stain on the front of their white t-shirt. You know, they've got like a booger hanging out of their nose and like their lips are all chapped. And it's great. That to me, because once you hit nine is like almost this changing of the guard a little bit where you're starting to just understand things a little bit more before you start getting into 10, 12, you know, all those ages. But eight is that perfect precipice of like peak childdom.
That's great.
And I don't think that can be debated.
You know what? When I was 8 years old, that was when I'm not diagnosed, but as far as I could tell, back then I probably already had seasonal depression.
You had seasonal depression at 8?
I think so. I remember I was sitting on the toilet and I thought to myself, life has no joy for me anymore.
Dang.
And I had no idea what was going on. But I thought it was just school, but it was actually the lack of sunlight I was getting.
Hmm. Basement dwelling.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, I guess I finally found the person that could counteract my claim that.
There we go. Didn't take too long.
Because for me, like, 8 was like dirt and Legos. You know, you're just always running home to play Legos, and it's like I didn't know what school was. I was homeschooled, so that just got thrown out the window. So it wasn't like I was actually learning anything. You know, it was like, I don't know, go touch grass for biology. Yeah,
maybe that's the problem, is that I should have been homeschooled.
You were raised in the decrepit public school system.
No,
and now
I was a charter school kid.
Were you?
Yeah, dude. The school I went to was a charter school. Why do you think we had to wear the uniform? Do you think public schools
Dude, I
make
totally
kids wear
forgot
uniforms?
That you wore a uniform.
Dude, do you remember
Dude,
how
I
much
was
of a dorkus I was?
I didn't know anything about like school outside from mommy giving you a set of math equations and then you cried at the kitchen counter when it was too hard. I wasn't paying attention. I was 8. I wasn't paying attention to your uniform.
Yeah,
but you did wear a uniform and you were a dork.
Yeah, you were the booger out of the nose, didn't notice a thing in the world child for sure.
So what are you going to do to fix that for your future 8-year-old? So he's not wearing a coat of arms and thinking about his existence on the toilet at 8.
Well, I mean, I think that's a discussion I would have with my wife at that point. Yeah. How do we want to educate our child?
Yeah, but there's no wife right now, so just spitball it.
Just spitball it?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to homeschool my child, and by homeschool my child, I mean I'm going to have them sit in the basement and watch TikToks.
Okay.
And take notes.
Okay. I like that. See, that's a marketable skill. It's like, who cares about the great American classics, the Mark Twains, the Moby Dicks? Nah, get on TikTok. And you see this one with 6 million views? Why are they getting 6 million views? And it's because there's a pretty girl in it and she's doing a dance. And then your kid will realize that he is not a pretty girl and he can't dance.
That's really sad.
I actually do think your kids are going to dance pretty well, though.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, dude. I can't dance. I can pretend to dance. You actually can dance.
Ooh.
And I think if you marry like a nice Greek girl or something, you're going to have just these like these players, you know?
Yeah, just these dancing players.
Because they're going to get all like the coolness from their mother, but they're going to get the
dancing
from you.
They're
going to
get the dance skills from me, baby. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Okay, so I work with kids, right?
Yeah.
And the kids I was working with hosted a dance competition.
Mm.
And, you know, I was in consistent top 3 in the dance competition because there were multiple rounds. I got second place both rounds I participated in.
But were you doing it against kids?
I was doing it against
kids. See, that's not fair because literally, that's another cool thing about growing up, and I'm sure you've experienced this like doing camp counseling and stuff, but if you just have any sort of seniority, almost anything you do is cool.
That's true.
You know, like I look back to people that just were giants to me, just mountains of men, you know, and they're like pimply faced, like 17 year olds at the time, but they were God in my eyes and they could do no wrong.
That's true. I remember like growing up, there was this one guy that I was like, wow, he is so cool. I want to emulate him exactly.
Yeah.
And then like you start talking to his peers and you're like, oh, like he's not actually that well respected.
No. He's just kind of this dude. It's a really interesting thing when I think about it, how your perception of what cool is. So of course you came consistently in third place.
But you know, Kids are also brutal. So if I did a bad job, I think they would have been honest about it, and they would have had fun teasing me about it.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is like, how do you take that brutality? How do you take that teasing? Right? Yeah. If you're very insecure as an adult and a kid's teasing you and you can't handle it, that's going to be so bad for you.
Oh yeah.
But if you've learned to be like the court jester, you know, and nothing phases you, then, you know, then those kids, they stop doing that.
Yeah. Well, kids are mean. I've worked with kids for so long that, like, if I couldn't handle that, I wouldn't be working with kids anymore.
I've worked with kids so long that I'm starting to become one.
Woo!
Oh, man. Mean,
that was a problem that I had to fix.
Yeah. So life, man.
Life, man. Life is life.
Life.
Na 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 na.
What are the good things of life to you? What's your bottom five?
My bottom what?
Your bottom five.
My bottom five.
Your bottom.
These are my bottom five good things in life.
Your bottom five.
So these are like the good things in life, but the worst good things in life.
Your bottom five.
My bottom five. Okay, so some of the worst good things in life are when there's no traffic, and it's a pretty straight drive to work. That's a good thing. I don't really notice, but it's a good thing.
Mm.
All right,
that's
when,
one.
When a song, you know, it just slides right in one ear and out the other, and you're like, you know, I'm more glad that this song is on than that it's not.
Okay.
You know, that's a good thing.
So you're glad when the song's over?
No. I'm glad that the song is on. And
that's it.
It's not adding a whole lot, but just that little bit.
Okay.
Okay. Having a conversation with someone that you need to catch up with, but you don't have a whole lot to say.
Mm. Ooh. How would that conversation go down?
All right.
Let's act out that conversation.
Okay.
This is bottom three of bottom five.
All right. Hey, what's up, dude?
Hey, man.
How's it going?
Oh, you know, I'm doing pretty good, man. I haven't seen you in a long time. Life's pretty crazy.
Oh, yeah? What's going on?
Man, I've just been working, and my dog has a butt issue.
Oh, interesting. What's going on with your dog's butt?
Well, you know, sometimes he looks at it like he wants to eat it, and then other times he looks at it like he doesn't know what it is. And the doctor said it's a medical condition called canine buttus dysmorphius.
Yo, that's crazy. I've never heard about that.
That's wild, man.
Yeah, you know, my life's actually going pretty well right now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. You know, I'm on kind of the self-improvement grind.
Oh, that's lame, man.
Oh, yeah.
Hedonism, you know, is the way to go.
Oh, hedonism?
Do whatever
you want.
Dude,
I'll have to try that.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Well, you know, it was good to see you.
Yeah, man.
Glad you're doing all right. Hope your dog.
Yeah,
feels
I can't
a
believe
better.
I haven't seen you in 5 years. I'm glad we got to catch up.
Yeah, yeah. Good to see you, bud.
Yeah, I'm glad we got to catch up.
Hey, we should catch coffee sometime.
We should hang out sometime, dude. I totally like have your number.
Yeah, dude. We should just text me anytime.
Oh, anytime. It'll happen. I will definitely text you anytime.
Absolutely.
Day or night, man.
Dude,
I am so consistent at texting.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I will give you updates about how my dog is doing.
Dude, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'll see you later.
Good to see you, buddy.
See how you weaseled out of that as quick as you could.
A mild pleasure.
It's a mild pleasure. It's like, you know what?
Like, I like this person.
I like this person, but I don't want to talk to you that long.
Yeah.
I kind of want to go away.
Yeah.
And they're never going to text you.
No, it's not going
to
happen.
It's hard enough to text your close friends.
You know it's not going to happen as you're saying it, but you'd like it to happen. And sometimes you might even think about it and then say, you know what? It's been the wrong amount of time.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel right.
When it's been like 2 weeks, then it feels dirty.
Yeah. It's like, I can't do it. But if it's been one week, it's like, nah, we just talked. It's too soon.
Just talked. And then it's 2 weeks later and it's like
2 o'clock in the morning. So, hey, how's your dog's butt going? I really loved our conversation. I would like to have more. What are you doing Thursday morning?
Oh, man.
That's awful.
All right. I need one last pleasure in life.
Dude, you have two more, but go
for
it.
Oh, I have two more.
If you want to cut off at four, right. You cut off at four.
I don't know. We're committed to
It's the bottom five. I could have done a bottom five. 10, but I did a bottom five.
Okay. All right. Here's a minor pleasure.
Minor pleasure.
So when you're like just passing by like a girl on the street and you're like, she cute. Not like super cute, but she cute.
But she cute.
Yeah. It's like, I'm enjoying walking by.
I'm liking it.
It's not like, whoo! It's just like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd love to see the woman that makes you do ape noises at her on the street.
I mean, I would, you know, I'm too respectful.
That's so. To do that. You're like at a Hobby Lobby.
Oh gosh.
Start banging on stuff. So yeah, so just like a nice average, kind of like in high school, you know, I feel like, you know, you weren't dating too many girls. You didn't have a good like expectation. So it was just like any one of these could be my girlfriend. And I don't have to be the best one because I don't shoot for the best. I shoot for average.
I shoot for I have a girlfriend.
Yes, exactly.
And then the final pleasure.
Bottom five.
The final pleasure of the bottom five pleasures is going to like a movie, show, video game that.
Going to a video game?
Or enjoying one of these things that. You've like spent a lot of time with and it's kind of just like a comfort thing for you to go to. Like you've gotten most of the value you're going to get out of it, but it's comfortable to throw on.
And it's not even like nostalgia. It just feels safe.
Yeah. Like you don't have to put yourself out there.
Yeah.
And like maybe you don't like whatever this new thing you're trying is.
Mm-hmm.
Fair and valid. But that thing that you like, that you've kind of worn most of the value out of, still enjoyable enough. And that's it.
That's a really good bottom five.
Yeah.
I'm happy you procured that list.
I really feel proud of my ability to come up with that on the fly.
That was good. That was good. This is good for you.
Yeah.
You need to get out of your your podcast producer mode and trying to bend the world to your will. Sometimes you need to just snap it together. Get a little refresher.
Yeah. Little like snap half of the people out of the population, you know, that sort of deal.
I got a good bottom.
Okay. All right, let's hear it. All right.
Okay, I call it piece of crap.
Piece of crap.
Piece of crap. And I do this once a month. I will go to McDonald's. This is like bottom five. I will go to McDonald's and I will order an obscene amount of food off the breakfast menu. So I'm looking at about 3 Egg McMuffins and 4 breakfast burritos.
That's a little disgusting.
So a bit much. A bit much. And a hash brown. And I will take it home. I won't touch anything on my way over. I leave it in the bag so it gets a nice lukewarm. Then I proceed to take my pants off. I get almost completely naked. And then I sit down on a couch and I eat it in like 10 minutes. And I just sit there. I sit there and I just hold my belly. And I just go, Joel, you dirty. And I just let the dopamine just, you know, just me. You know, I just let it just knocking on the door. You know, just enough where you're about to see the kingdom of heaven and it's just too far away. That's... because you're a sack of crap.
That's a little appalling.
And I love it. And there is nothing more American in this life to me than eating an obnoxious, just in a just a egregious amount of food in one sitting and then just taking the fattest nap afterwards. I love it, but it's a bottom five.
Yeah,
because
that's degenerate.
That's so, dude, it's peak hedonism. Like I try to live a pretty clean life for the most part, so yeah. It's like my one, just, you dirty boy, like somebody ought to spank me, you know what I mean? Like, it's just you filthy person, I can't believe they let you out on the street. I can't believe someone gave you a driver's license and a Christian name.
This feels like you're hinting at like a certain level of attraction you have towards this experience. Like
that's my bottom five. It's still a good five, but it's the bottom five.
Like a reproductive attraction.
Listen,
to this experience.
There is a little bit. It is in a way. It is very like. It's a very tactile and almost borderline sensual. It's me and Ronald McDonald having a moment. It's me with a great American institution about to put a baby in this country. You know what I'm saying?
Oh no.
It's the worst, but it's the best.
Oh no.
It's complete degeneracy.
Oh,
dude, can't you relate with that a little bit though?
No.
I can't believe like you can't. It's just,
dude, God has cursed my ears today.
It's great, but it's terrible.
Oh no.
Oh man, and the thing too is like,
okay, what's your next pleasure?
I was about to talk about how I love like the girl at the fast food drive-thru hands me the bag, like she knows I'm buying this for a family. What she doesn't realize is it's just for me. What was I saying? Oh, bottom four. Okay, here, this is a simple one. This is a little less sexual.
Gosh.
I really love when somebody starts speeding on the road and gets pulled over.
All right, that one's good.
That's a good feeling, because it's like, I'm going the speed limit, I'm following the rules, and he just goes, and then
justice.
2 minutes later, that dude's pulled off on the side of the road. His day is ruined.
It's validation for your life choices, really.
It really is. It's like, I was a good boy, and I decided to follow the rules today, and it's paying off.
Yeah, because like when people speed past you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it's like they were behind you and first opportunity they go zoom right past you.
Yeah.
It's like it makes you feel a little inadequate.
Yeah.
Makes you feel invalid. Like your decision on how to drive is something that makes them angry or
sure.
Like You just feel like a waste of space,
but
it's so validating when you see that their actions have consequences.
But realistically, do you really want to blow by somebody? Because you feel a little inadequate.
Yeah.
You kind of wish that was you.
Yeah.
Do you really want to blow by somebody in your CRV?
No.
That's kind of a look.
Yeah.
This guy's driving a Honda for families. For young families just starting out, he's just gonna blow by us.
No,
that's not the same look. You gotta have a hot rod. You know, no.
I do not have the right car to speed. I feel like if I go crazy in the CRV,
mm-hmm.
if I do not get pulled over, it is an abomination to nature.
How right? so?
Because the natural order would and should be that I drive 5 over the speed limit
mm-hmm.
in my CRV.
Mm-hmm.
Not more,
mm-hmm.
not less.
Mm-hmm.
That is the natural order.
Yeah. And it's not a car you would expect to go over that.
No.
It's just like my pickup truck. It's like, yeah, this guy's going 50 miles an hour on the highway because he drives a 20-year-old pickup truck.
Obvious.
What do you expect? Like, people that get right up on my butt and they're like, go faster, I just kind of like shrug. It's like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
This is like, just the way God made this.
I am living by my limitations and my own expectations for self.
That's perfect.
Yes.
That is perfect.
And if you can't handle that because you have a lead foot, then maybe you're taking life a little too seriously. Maybe you're taking yourself a little too seriously. Where do you have to be that showing up 2 minutes earlier is that important to you that you need to make yourself a nuisance to me?
That's where you draw the line.
That's where I draw the line.
That is a perfect analogy for life. Treat life like you're a CRV owner going five over.
Yes, sir.
You know, that's all you need to be. Don't try to be anything else.
Also, people who tailgate are the people who are responsible for traffic.
That's fair.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
Because you have to slam down on your brakes harder. And then the person behind you has to slam on their brakes even harder to accommodate for you.
Yep.
And it's a chain reaction
that
could have been avoided
had
you not tailgated.
Yep.
So don't do it. Do not dishonor your fellow citizen.
Amen.
Just because you think that someone else is going a little too slow.
Amen. All right, bottom three.
All right.
Bottom number three. Bottoms.
Just butts?
Just butts.
All right.
Butts are fun.
Man,
butts are weird.
You're on the horny vibes today.
No, dude.
Go to horny
this
jail.
This was like the least horny jail offense.
Okay, this is just a non-attractive, non-sexual.
Just objectively.
Objective.
They're just funny things.
Okay.
It's hard to take somebody seriously in this life when you know they have a butt. It's like who do you think you are?
Yeah. You know, opinions are like butts.
Yeah.
Everyone has one, and mine is the only good one.
Who do you think you are? You have to use a cushion made out of flesh to sit down.
Appalling.
Appalling. Number bottom two is, I don't know. Bottom number two is when somebody says, I'll call you back later, when you didn't really want to talk to them, and then they never call you back.
Tasty.
Because it just, you know what?
That's a long-term pleasure there.
Yeah, because it's like, you know what? I wasn't really, because they call you.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, man, how are you doing? It's kind of like what you talked about, except they just ghost you, you know, just straight up. And they talk to you for like 15 minutes, and then they just like, oh, I got to call you back later, and then just never do. And it's like, great. I was done talking with you anyways, like when you called.
Great.
So that's a really good one. Big fan of that. And my bottom one. I think my bottom one would be disposable utensils and dishware.
You do love those.
It's my bottom one. Because it's on the bottom because bad for environment.
Yeah.
But you just totally get rid of the worst part of owning a home, eating, society, life, dishes. The fact that you have to wash something to eat off of it again blows my mind.
Wait till you hear about clothes.
Dude, I did laundry for the first time in like 3 months.
3 months?
Yeah.
You have enough clothes to last you 3 months?
I sure don't. I just keep... Dude, I don't care. You think people expect anything differently from me?
I mean, no.
Does it look like I'm going out and like, oh man, I'm on a date? Does it look like I'm dating anyone right now,
no.
Trent?
If you were dating, would you do your laundry?
For the first 6 months.
Once the salesman is gone.
Once the salesman is gone, that dirty hobo with a weird thing for McDonald's crawls out of the pit of hell to present himself to the next poor woman that crosses my path. Ooh. God bless this country.
Rest in peace, girls who've been in a relationship with Joel longer than 6 months.
I'll be a good boy. I'm learning how to do things.
I'm happy for you,
I'm
Joel.
Figuring it out. I'm not a piece of junk. And that is life. It's figuring it out. It's bumps and bruises along
Amen.
The way. You know? It's fallen on your face a couple times. It's taken an art class with your best friend and not knowing the
Beautiful.
First thing about art.
Which we did.
We're doing
Thank
great.
Thank you, Gigi.
Thanks,
oh,
Gigi.
You know what?
We could have Gigi on.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yo, we should reach out to Gigi. Try to get her on the podcast.
I think I follow her on Instagram.
Dude, slide into Gigi's
Old
DMs.
Gigi. Wonder what she's up to nowadays. Yeah.
She was our art teacher. She's She's partially responsible for the creation of this podcast.
Yeah.
I give her like 2% of the credit.
Yeah. She said we were going to be rich and famous.
She did. Do you want to prove our art teacher right? Then like and subscribe. And don't leave hate comments.
Yeah.
Leave a nice comment.
Leave nice comments.
That said, I enjoy this video. Man, I look so insecure. It's because I am. I'll be honest. I don't like getting hate comments. Makes me feel bad.
I don't think you're generally... Do you think you're generally a pretty insecure person?
I think I have balls of steel, but I'm still, like, relatively insecure.
Mm.
So, like, I have the confidence to address my insecurities.
Yeah.
I have the confidence to talk to people in any context.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm talking with people, I feel totally comfortable.
Yeah.
But I'm never worried. What does this person think to me? Or what does this person think of me?
Mm-hmm.
But I have the insecurity of, like, am I a joke? Like, is my life worth anything? Am I a valuable contributor?
What do you think?
You know, when I'm being honest, I don't think it really matters. Because here's the thing, right? I see in everyone, there are two wolves. Okay? You have the silly, insecure joke wolf that everybody can kind of see that they're just a dude who's kind of not got everything figured out.
Okay.
And then you have the other wolf. And that wolf is actually...
Eats McDonald's in his underwear.
No, that's the goofy wolf. That's the goofy wolf. There's also the wolf in you that is also just a dude, but... It's like, this is just someone trying to live their life earnestly.
Mm.
And you have to respect that.
Yeah.
And in each of us, there are two wolves.
Yeah.
Because I can look at anyone and from a certain perspective be like, you know, I can't respect this person.
Mm.
They're goofy in this way.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have all their stuff together. I can say that about anybody to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But there's also another extent where with most people, there's something I can genuinely respect about them. And like, I think that's also true about me. I don't have my stuff together all the time.
Yeah.
I'm about as oblivious as it gets sometimes. But people also seem to genuinely like me.
Mm-hmm.
And I get along great with people. People really seem to enjoy my sense of humor. And that's all valid.
Yeah.
I'm also a complete airhead.
There's a lot of wolves.
Yeah. There's a lot of wolves.
A lot of wolves talking to each other.
Yeah.
I think that's a good way to put it, though. It's like life is kind of what you make it, you know, in a way. And your insecurities, what you know, whether you're doing a good job, whether you're...
Yeah. And I think...
That's to be determined.
Yeah. And your insecurities, I think, are almost in a sense valid.
Uh-huh.
But they're also completely stupid and irrelevant and a waste of time to worry about.
Those are the two wolves.
Those are the two wolves.
Valid and irrelevant.
Yep.
But
that's you. You are valid and irrelevant.
At the same time.
Yep.
Yeah. Don't give us hate comments on that.
Yeah.
No, dude. Well... Life, man.
Yeah, life. Life is life.
Life is good.
No, 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 no.
I think life is good. I think life is what you make of it.
They should make a brand. It's like, life is good. It's just like a stick figure dude, and he's like kind of an adventurous guy.
Yeah, he's like a little adventurous dude, and like, yeah. And like your dad wears it.
Yeah, my dad religiously wears it.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, life is good. Yeah, those are great shirts, though.
They are.
They really are.
You,
those.
You know, that's the respectable wolf.
That is the respectable wolf, the life is good stick figure wolf. Because at the end of the day, I think that's what you really strive for. Because you know the life is good guy, he probably has a hard job. His life isn't easy. Just took out another mortgage. You know, he's driving a car that doesn't start every day. But you know what? Going on his little camping trip. He's got his little campfire. He's got his little sayings. He's got his little shirts. Life is good.
Life is good.
And I think that's what it is. It's not. Life is perfect.
Yeah.
Life is exceeding my wildest expectations on a daily basis.
No, mm-mm. Sir.
Life is good.
And it can be miserable.
It sure can.
It can be the worst.
It can be the worst. But what I've found through life being the worst is that depend, like how you take that makes the life is good part even better, you know, because when the life is the worst, you can take that and turn it into life is good. And that's a beautiful thing. You know,
you gotta fight for it.
You gotta fight for it. It's not easy. If there was like, you know, you spent your entire life, you know, doing something, why not try to have a nice, consistent peacefulness about your life? You know, that's a good thing to strive for every day.
Yeah.
I think that's what people genuinely try to strive for. I don't think people like to live their lives in conflict.
That's lovely.
And it's
very
like,
beautiful.
Life is good.
Life is good.
Life is good, guys.
And also very bad.
And also very bad.
Life is tough.
Life is all right.
Life is great.
Life is sometimes okay.
Yeah.
Life is above the minimum.
Okay, you lost me. I am lost.
That's all right.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, do you have anything more to say about life?
You know, we've about run...
I think we've
run the length of the podcast.
I think we've covered it.
All right. Do you want to say anything silly before we go?
That whole McDonald's thing was a joke. I don't actually do that.
Yep.
I've never done it before.
Yep.
I think that I've just hurt my chances at finding a prospective mate. I think I've hurt my chances of...
You think so?
...falling in love.
Here's the deal. That's the silly wolf in you talking.
What if that's the real wolf, though?
That's tough.
What if the real wolf likes eating in his underwear? Picking the crumbs out of his belly button.
Here's the deal, Joel. It is my girl. My goal.
It is my girl.
When I get a girlfriend.
When I get a girlfriend.
When I get a girlfriend. That she will not listen to this podcast until we are deep into the relationship. Maybe I'll let her listen to an episode.
But I think it'd be more fun if you just kept it a secret from her and dropped it on her in like 2 years.
In 2 years? That's genius. Like, what are you doing on Wednesday? Oh, I'm just hanging out with Joel again.
Poker night.
Poker night. Sorry.
Boys poker night.
Boys poker night. You're not invited.
Sorry. You know, Joel's a little bit, you know how he gets when he eats McDonald's. He gets a little nude. Yeah. You don't want to be around that.
But I don't want to be in a relationship where she has more access to my life and my personal stories than I have to hers.
Mm.
So I think in my ideal scenario, I would wait until my girlfriend and I are on like a square level before I really let her
dive
in.
It's like 8 months later, it's like, all right, you ready?
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Okay. You show me your podcast, I'll show you my blog.
Oh gosh.
Because every girl's got a blog.
Yeah. All right. If she got a blog, which I guess if every girl got a blog.
She's
in.
Every girl has a blog. It's like a journal online that they don't want a lot of people to see.
Every girl's got a blog, every boy's got a podcast.
Yeah. Podcasting is a very manly endeavor.
Ooh.
See, now we're just incriminating ourselves.
So, have you ever come across people that like assume that any guy who has a podcast is like
depressed.
on some like alpha male misogyny podcast?
I mean, we've been called that.
Yeah. We haven't been
I don't
called
know about
alpha
the alpha male. Yeah, it's like, give me the alpha male part.
Just the
misogyny's no fun.
That's what you get, Joel. Shouldn't have disliked.
There are two
that
misogynists that live in
liked.
You. One is a sewer rat and the other one lives in a penthouse.
There we go.
We're on the sewer rat spectrum.
This is not going to be the episode that I allow my girlfriend to watch because we acknowledge that someone called us misogynists.
You want a very squeaky clean relationship.
Yes, sir.
You don't want any problems.
That's the
goal.
And
I think that will be your downfall.
Oh,
no. I think you need to...
Sorry that I don't want a girl to have a parasocial relationship with me while we're dating.
I think a parasocial relationship is the best way to start any dating relationship.
There we go.
So that's just
beautiful.
So
a parasocial... Hey, if you have a parasocial relationship, leave a comment.
Yeah. Send me your home address. Yeah.
No, I was actually talking to Thaniel about that. I think I might have told you.
I forgot his home address, so I need him to send it.
Now you have a parasocial relationship with him because you just know him from your memories.
Yeah.
You don't go and visit him.
How'd you feel about the free floating mic today?
It helps
with my fidget a little bit.
Yeah. I can see that. I had some fidgeting problems today.
It's nice to like hold something. I also like to kind of rub it on my chin.
Is that another sensual thing for you?
No, it's more like a tactile thing. It's like ASMR. This is what 2 weeks of unshaved chins.
Well, I think that's enough for the people. Do you think that came across?
I hope it did.
Man, the audio only people are in for a special treat.
They're in for an auditorial.
Oh gosh.
Pleasure.
You need like a speech therapist.
She would probably have to go to therapy after and not a speech therapist brain therapist for your inside hurties.
All right,
well, hey guys, this was a little thing that we wanted to try out.
Yes, if you are a close personal friend and know us in real life, let us know what you think of the episode.
Yeah. Do you like us talking about life, or do you want us to be drones?
Yeah. Do you want us to talk about Marvel movie?
You know, Marvel movie in current year. Yes. Didn't you like how insert character saved insert character from the insert villain?
I really liked the scene where character said funny thing.
I laughed.
I liked when there was an ending scene and the characters that I liked fought together against the guy that I didn't care about.
Did you stay during the last 3 minutes of credits to watch teaser for next Marvel movie?
I did. I am very excited.
Did you clap at the end when Captain America did the thing?
Dude, stop making fun of me. I'm out of here.
Yeah, I bet you did. If you clapped when Captain America came on screen in The Avengers 2, I personally do not like you.
No, I don't clap. I don't clap for Marvel.
Clapping
movies.
In a movie is like the whitest thing you can do besides clapping when an airplane lands.
You know what was actually, no, I'm not telling that story. Bye.
Oh, I was kind of excited.